Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Allora, siamo tornati su questo podcast con Mike e Matt, che non capiranno niente di quello che sto dicendo, però sono molto felice di esserci. E ora, guarda, la faccia di me! Hey, wow!
Have you ever crashed a wedding?
No, but that's why I want to know how you would feel.
And what I think is that I wouldn't know someone was crashing my wedding, because if I didn't recognize who that was, I would assume it was one of Patricia's friends that I just had never met. But
that's why I think wedding crashing works. Like, that's why I feel like, more than anything else,
it's easy to crash a wedding.
It's easier to do it because of the fact that you... everyone's assuming that they just don't know that person.
Right.
Unless it's like a 50 to 70 person wedding. But when we're talking like 150 to 200 people, there's no way you know everyone. Like, maybe someone's plus one. You know what I mean? You're a friend with his girlfriend who you've never met.
True. You got to have a really great story about who you know. Like, you know, or it's like the movie Wedding Crashers, where you just say, oh, I'm Aunt Liz's son.
Aunt Liz's son.
And everyone's going to assume someone has an Aunt Liz. Yeah.
I have an Aunt Liz.
Do you really?
Yeah. When they said it in the movie, I was like, wow, that's kind of sick.
Do you have an Aunt Susie?
No.
No, oh, I always feel like everybody has an Aunt Susie.
Maybe where you're from.
Wait, have you ever crashed a wedding?
No. I get invited to too many that I don't even... I'm saying, who's going to crash? I would crash, like, if, like, I found out, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio was getting married.
My thing with crashing a wedding, I mean, I don't think I would ever do it. Also, just because I feel bad and I know how much goes into a wedding. And, like, you know, it's like every person is like $150 or whatever. So
right.
I just, like, feel bad. But for me, it'd be, like, more so, like, if I am somewhere and you, like, walk past, like, a venue or, like, a hotel and, like, something is going on.
Yes.
Then I'd be like, let me take a little peek in here.
But what are the odds you're going to be dressed to crash a wedding if you're like walking by a hotel when you're on vacation?
You might.
I could whip something together.
Yeah.
I could whip something together. If the only time I would crash a wedding is if I was staying at a hotel in the middle of nowhere and there wasn't much going on nightlife wise in the town I was at, and down in the ballrooms at the hotel there was a wedding, and the wedding was like in the last hour or two.
Yeah.
Where no one is gonna like
imagine you're like in like a tropical place or something. I feel like people always do that shit. Like, I'd say Hawaii, but like, that's probably a bad example. But like, you're in your hotel, you're probably dressed in a cute dress because you're going to dinner.
Yeah.
And then you see there's a wedding going on, and like, the DJ's playing, people are just dancing. The dinner's over. It's just like the dancing part.
You're not going to go to an assigned seat that doesn't exist for you.
No, I'm not going to sit down. I'm just going to go to the bar, get myself a little drink, and then go to the dance floor. Maybe meet my husband. That's a great story.
There you go. Oh. And what's also, I love the idea of crashing like conferences.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that once.
What did you crash?
It's going to be the nerdiest thing ever.
We crashed a Narcotics Anonymous, like, celebratory event.
What?
Oh, wait, like in a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Kind of a thing? It was like a whatever they call it when you celebrate the 1 year or whatever. It was like a Narcotics Anonymous graduation ceremony.
Okay.
Sounds like not fun at all.
It wasn't, but we didn't know what it was until we got in there. But we were like looking for something to do. We heard music playing from like this convention center. We're like, what is going on in there? And then we like peeked inside. We saw like people looked like they were partying. And then we walked in, and it's just like people, you know, struggling to like get their vibe going.
Oh my God.
Because there's no drinks, there's no nothing. And it's just a bunch of people like kind of like dancing like this.
Stop.
And we were fucking wasted. And we're like, what's going on here? Like, oh, it's Narcotics Anonymous. Congratulations. And like they were talking to us like we were partying.
And they're just
worse.
Smelling
you
alcohol
drunk
in your breath.
They're like, you cheated. You don't deserve to be at this graduation.
And they were playing Rihanna's We Found Love in a Hopeless Place. And we were like, ooh.
Great banger.
Not for us.
Have you ever gone out of your way to like sneak into a club or get yourself into a function? Like when
Absolutely.
I was in college, sometimes I would try to Google the owner of a bar.
Brilliant.
And I would go up to the front and ask if that owner was working.
So smart.
They're like, yo, like, hey, is Jerry here tonight? They're like, no, he's not. He's like, how do you know Jerry? I'm like, I go way back with him. He said I could come in with like a few friends tonight. Is that cool? And sometimes they would let me in. But
that's honestly a really good move.
Hey,
to Google the owner of the building.
I do that, but not like, I'll just like exaggerate. Like I will have met someone. And then you just use that name, even if you're not that friends. But I've never like fully just Googled someone and gone, is that smart?
Sometimes you can really find the information. And also lately, I've been having to like write down the people who are like bouncers at places. Because mm-hmm. like sometimes I have great connections with them and they remember me, but I always forget their name.
Yeah.
So now I'm like having to like write it down.
But you're really good with the, oh, it's so good to see you, buddy. Yeah, pal. All right, bud.
Like, yeah.
You're pretty good at throwing those around.
Yeah.
That is a
Southern accent on it.
My other thing that I used to do, like, I feel like more so in New York, I've done it a couple of times, is when you go to an event that there's a list for.
Okay.
And most likely it's always just like a girl with the list in front of her. It's like, oh, name. And you just look, see the first, and you say the name that you see.
Oh.
And it always.
For ID?
A lot of times they don't, or you're getting ID checked before and then you're getting, the, you know what I mean? Now I will say I do think that now they now check ID with name at more, a lot of events. But I feel like for some reason there was a lot of stuff that I had gone to that was the case. Or it would be like, maybe like, say I was on the list or I was with a friend who was on the list and they weren't. I would just like be like, oh, mine. And then I'd see my name and then I'd just read another name and then say that. Because the thing is, the reason why it works and I don't feel too terrible, because when that person does arrive and they're like, oh, you're already here. But they're like, oh, it's me.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so I'm not like getting
someone's spot.
No, I'm not taking their spot. They're going to get in.
Have you ever had to work an event and like turn people away at something? Those kind of confrontations,
so weird.
I can't handle. Like once I know I'm in, I am just like, I can't even look around to see someone who like can't get in to the event.
Like,
I wouldn't leave a friend behind, but just hearing the conversation of someone not being able to get into something, it just makes
like
me
when we go to like a Paramount event and like we get in, Matt's just like, okay, just go. Just get inside.
I know. I'm the opposite. I get so stressed out and then I like wait there to make sure everyone gets in. And then if they don't, I'm like, oh, please, whatever. But
I think it's easier also for girls in general to get into events. Like guys, if you get in, it's like, okay, you just gotta fucking for himself.
Yeah.
But like girls
true.
Can kind of like, well, it's like three girls. Come on, it's me and my friend. Like,
yeah.
Looking at a list is a brilliant idea.
Looking at a list is great if there's a list. If not, I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm pretty good at finagling my way places. Again, this is such a dumb thing, but like if you're just nice.
Yeah.
To the bouncer. Like, I see so many people be so mean, and I'm like, where do you think you're going with this?
Yeah.
Like, how do you think this is going to get you in?
It's
like,
not.
I don't understand it. Like, when you're at the front of a line, and they're, like, being mean to the guy, or being like, come on, what the hell, bro? Like, you let that in, and I'm like, he's just going to tell you, fuck off.
Worked. Yeah. Like, when, like, NBA players yell at the refs, like, you know what? He's going to overchange his call because you screamed at him. Absolutely not.
Yeah, usually, they let the most patient guy...
And yes.
It's the same thing with bartenders. They don't like the person who's like throwing out their cash, trying to wave the bim, handing out their
card.
Do you
have a tip for bartenders? I am invisible to bartenders. I will go up to any bar I've ever been up to, and I'm... I will be waiting there for 40 minutes. And then you'll come up, hey, boss, what's going on? Yell to two Modelo, and then I'm just like, okay.
This is my move.
What's
and it's not
move?
Really a move. It's a test of patience. I sit there and I just keep looking at their faces with a like casual light smile. Like I'm totally patient.
Card out.
But I'm waiting for one of them to look me in the eye.
Card
in sometimes,
hand or no?
Yeah, I do that
if you
too.
Are talking to someone and looking at someone, you've already missed the opportunity because they're trying to make eye contact with whoever wants. Whoever is ready to go.
But then
and
you have
buy
that awkward
the next
thing. Like, or if you're with someone and they're trying to talk to you, do you be like, hey, I need to get the bartender's attention?
Yeah.
I do that too. Like if someone's talking, I'm like, just wait. Like, let's just get this drink and then we can talk. Because if you're talking and then it's like, they don't give a fuck. I always do the same thing. I'm like, you be patient, be nice, but like try and make eye contact and then be ready.
Yeah.
And that's what I always get mad at my friends at. Because I'll be at the bar, be like, okay, we're ready. And then I get there. I'm like, okay, what do you guys want? And they're like,
okay.
And I'm like, fucking make a decision.
Let's do it now.
Yeah, you have to know what you want when the bartender is ready for you.
They'll be like, I don't know. Like, do you guys have a, I'm like, shut up. Just fucking get a
do
vodka photo.
Dory Sour? Like, dude, no.
No.
What is your go-to drink when you are out and about?
If I have to have a cocktail, recently, a dirty martini, filthy martini is my go-to. This is a very, very recent thing, though.
With vodka?
With vodka.
Okay.
And I've just found that, like, the filthy, basically olive juice, if not a Moscow Mule.
Oh, but do they have to serve it up to you in the copper?
No, I actually hate when they serve it in the copper cup.
Oh, okay.
Like, depending on where I am. If I'm at a bar sitting down, like, you know, or like at a cocktail bar or something, fine. But if I'm at like a bar where we're standing and dancing, I don't want to be holding a copper mug. Yeah. I feel like an idiot. You need, and like, it's some... much colder. Yeah. So I hate holding
it. Taste the metal sometimes, or is that just me being insane?
You definitely need a straw for that.
But like, it, but like,
no, the sometimes drink, they don't give you the straw.
Doesn't the drink like absorb the taste of the copper when you're
drinking? I think it's... that's the point of it.
I think it has like a different type of, is it a copper lining as well inside of it? I think it's like more,
they always seem dirty too. Like they feel like they're never clean. They're always a little rusty.
Sometimes they taste so damn good though.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like if I'm at a, like if I'm chilling and we're just having a cocktail, love.
Do you have a drink that you, now, for the people who don't know, you've been doing a lot of DJ sets lately.
Yes.
Do you drink and DJ at the same time? Or you like to not DJ, drink?
When I DJ, I'll mostly have like a beer, like a Modelo.
Okay.
Or like a Moscow Mule, but it will last me basically the whole thing.
But you're getting up there pretty clear-headed. You're not ripping three
shots. But I mean, you guys also know me. I'm never like fucked up.
Yeah, you don't get,
I don't really get that much, that drunk anyways. Mm. I definitely will want something in me before I go up, just like for confidence and like, you know, just to be a bit more energetic. But I also will say the thing that I do a lot is I drink wine.
Ooh.
And I drink wine every night.
Very European.
It pairs well with like selecting tunes. Like after you've like had a few glasses of wine, that's when you want to start taking over the aux cord.
Exactly.
You're like, who's on aux? Let me, I got some tunes I have on my sleeve.
Like I'm not drinking wine while I'm DJing, but I'll have like, possibly if it's an event or something, I'll have a glass of wine at home, or I'll have a glass of wine there before I start. And then I'll have a cocktail or like a beer while I'm doing it. But like, there's nothing better than wine for me.
You also do a big glass of wine before a date too. You can't, you're always just like, I have to have my glass of wine before the date.
I have to.
And then
brush your teeth after.
I know, that's the part that sucks. But yeah, you can't, if you brush your teeth anywhere close to drinking wine, it's the most disgusting thing ever. Yeah.
Most things are not good after brushing your teeth.
But I also only drink red wine mostly. I never drink white wine, maybe a rosé occasionally. But I don't think it's a problem by any means. Also, again, I grew up in Rome, so you know, it's more culture, but I drink wine every night.
Why don't they make toothpaste that doesn't taste like anything? I've been looking for this for years.
Because then it would...
Like, the mint, like, is standard,
it's artificial flavor.
The standard like baking soda toothpaste, I still think doesn't taste like anything. It does exist.
Because the mint is like an artificial mint flavor that they just put into every single toothpaste.
There definitely is. Yeah, like the baking, the one that like has the old packaging or something.
Yeah, it's like the most baseline
that has
toothpaste,
no mint.
The most sensitive type mouths. It's like the oldest recipe for,
I feel like people would be brushing their teeth way more if it didn't ruin your entire mouth.
No, I disagree, because I feel like I wouldn't feel fresh if it didn't taste minty.
But like, I feel like I'd brush my teeth like before and after every meal if I didn't know I was gonna have this intense blast of Arctic mint, winter mint fresh.
I know what you mean. Sometimes I'm not in the mood for mint. I just want it to feel clean. I just don't want to taste it. But sometimes you think that the mintiness means that it's now clean.
Right, but that's just bullshit.
But then again, sometimes it's brushing your teeth is good, because like it's like once I brush my teeth at night, I'm done. No more snacks.
Yeah.
No more drinks. No more nothing.
Yeah,
but if I were to be able to do that, I don't know what would happen.
One time in college, we were just like looking around for a place to go, and there's all these clubs in New York, and we saw there wasn't a line at this one club, but we knew that it was like popping off, and so we were in college. We Googled who played Madison Square Garden that night. It was the band Phoenix with the band like 1901. I think I've told you this story.
Yes.
You know the band Phoenix?
Yeah.
Bunch of French guys, white guys.
Listomania.
Yeah, Listomania. So
one of them's married to Sofia Coppola, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
They played MSG that night, and we're like, we're just going to go say that we're Phoenix. No one fucking knows who they look like, and we're just not going to speak. One guy will be the manager. We picked the tallest guy. He walked up to the bouncer and was like, hey, these guys just play Madison Square Garden. They're Phoenix. Pulled up the Wikipedia, pulled up the concert poster. He's like, they're just looking for a table, just looking to try and, you know, get in. And he looked at us and goes, is it what play? What? And we're just like, pretended to be French. And he's like, you buying a table? We're like, yeah, we'll get a table inside. Go inside, didn't buy a table, and walked in as Phoenix.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a, they all like about a bunch of white Jewish guys. Like, how did you pass for that?
Would you know who Phoenix looks like?
No.
No.
If you were a bouncer at a club and some like tall guy is like really confident.
Well, Wikipedia page, are you showing them? You photoshopped a picture of you guys?
No, no.
I think it was still, it was probably like 2008. Like, yeah, people's early, internet wasn't that quick on their phone. They realized they would have to wait a bit.
Yeah, it was like Google. It was pre-Instagram.
That's really
like
2008,
funny. 2009.
Yeah. I've also heard that works if you're the band Slipknot, but you just wear the masks. And no, everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's Slipknot.
You just go as the Jabberwockies.
There you go.
Oh, they were on America's Got Talent.
Yeah, the Jabberwockies.
Oh, but then they're going to definitely want to see you tear up that dance floor.
Yeah.
Imagine Jabberwockies going to a club and not dancing.
Just like sipping. Like,
what a rip-off. Really sad. What club was it?
I can't remember. Ugh. I would never. I mean, one of my friends probably remember. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Rocket Money. I've been using Rocket Money for almost a year now. And every time I open it up, I just feel so much better, more informed about where my finances are, what I'm spending, where I'm saving, what subscriptions I have that maybe I forgot about. And it truly has been a game changer for me in managing my finances. Because a lot of people don't realize how much their subscriptions cost. And sometimes you'll sign up to maybe watch a show 30 days, get a free trial, and then it renews. And there's just so many things in this busy world, and Rocket Money really helps you zero in on where you're spending your money, how you're spending your money. It's just so convenient to have it all in one app. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they have forgotten about, and chances are you're one of them. You might have signed up to watch a show for a month, had a 30-day trial, but they got your credit card and now they're charging you every month. There's so many trials and things that people have subscribed to that they just forgot about. But Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you. You could just hit cancel and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. It's that easy. Rocket Money also helps you manage all your finances in one place and automatically categorizes your expenses, so you can easily track your budget in real time and get alerted if anything looks off. There's over 3 million people that have used Rocket Money, and they save the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing money away, cancel your unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/hoot. That's rocketmoney.com/hoot. Once again, rocketmoney.com/hoot. And now back to the episode.
This isn't how I got into a place, but once I was at a club, and same thing, I was in college. I was definitely underage. But I was with a bunch of friends of mine, and I can see this group of people, like, I was like near the bathroom and they're like whispering, they're like staring at me, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then I hear the guy go, it's MIA. God, it's MIA. And I was like, no fucking way, these people think I'm MIA.
Wow.
So I played into it.
I believe it. Did you have like glasses on, or were you just like,
I don't remember what I was wearing. I mean, I've gotten that I look like MIA before, but like mostly like pictures or something. But I was in a club. I was also probably like 20, 19.
Yeah.
Like, MIA is like 45. And I was like, sure, whatever.
They'll just apply their own.
Exactly. But it was like dark. It was a club. It was also like a cool club. So like maybe they would assume that like she might be there. So I kind of played into it.
British accent?
Yep. I put on my British accent.
Wow.
But I just started talking to my friends.
Democracy.
I said, democracy. Like, we should probably leave soon. You know, like, I don't know. So I started talking like that. And as I'm walking out, they're like, hey, am I? And I was like, hi, babe. Sorry. Then I just go on call.
Oh, my God.
And I remember leaving. I was like, that was lit.
That's really good. Have you ever been mistaken as someone famous? Who?
I get. Now it's Jack Antonoff.
Yeah, Jack Antonoff, 100%.
I'm talking about someone like, in public, being like,
yes,
chat.
When I went to the Walgreens here with a mask on,
that makes COVID, it, but that makes it even more like it could.
And
be.
I had the black glasses, and I'm wearing a mask. And the guy goes, "I'm a big fan." I'm like, "Oh wow, he watches the podcast, cool." And I'm like, "Thanks, man." He goes, "Yeah, dude, I just can't believe you produced that album." I was like,
"Get out!
Who do you think I am?" And he goes, "You're Jack Antonoff. Congrats on the Grammy." And I was like, "I'm not Jack Antonoff." And he goes, "All right, bro. That'd be pretty cool if you were though, but we'll just pretend you're not." And I'm like, "Dude, if I was Jack Antonoff, I would tell you." I'm not Jack Antonoff. And he didn't believe me. And he's like, all right, have a good day, Jack. And
that's
like refused
so
to believe
funny.
Me.
Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah.
I one time got stopped at, this is the most insignificant like celebrity. I got stopped at South by Southwest by somebody. And they thought I was the singer George Ezra. Do you know who that is? He sings that song, My House in Budapest.
Oh, no,
My Hidden Treasure Chest.
And he came up to you and was like, I love your stuff.
Yeah, they really thought I was George Ezra.
Did you play into it or you said,
I'm not George Ezra? But they were like, they were really like, like it broke their heart.
Didn't some woman actress, older woman also come up to you one time and was like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in forever.
Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
Fran Drescher, the nanny. Do you know the nanny?
Yeah.
She grabbed my hand. It was like, it's so good to see you. How have you been? Like, it's been forever. And Patricia's looking at me going, how the hell do you know Fran Drescher? I didn't. I just played along with it. And I don't know who she
thought you were.
Thought I was. But yeah.
That's that really funny.
And there was that one time also at a restaurant, Lord walked in and was like glaring at me. And I think she thought I was Zac Antonoff for a minute.
Bullshit.
I told you.
But wait, okay, I told maybe you that. For a split second.
No.
You don't think the guy who like produced her entire album and like wrote all those songs with her.
It was dark.
That would be like.
It was dark. She was like a few tables away. But yeah. The person I was with was like, dude, she keeps staring at you.
That would be like me seeing Zac Antonoff and thinking it's you. Like,
but like I get what, like, if you're at a restaurant, like at a dark place, and like, you'd probably like, is that him? I can't tell.
Yeah. Maybe I'm making it up, but she was.
Maybe she was just trying to pull.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Should we introduce our guest?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? You've been on many, many times. For the people who don't know.
I have been on once.
Really?
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
She was in.
Has it been that long?
In the old set with the red background.
Yeah. I
we hang out with her all the time.
Ella Priya, good to have you back. I thought we had you on like a couple months ago.
No.
Oh, my.
It's like 2018, 2019.
2020.
2020, sure.
I was like, right before this podcast, I was like, do I need to like prepare like a big introduction for Ella Priya? But I was like, no, I think the people already do know who you are. Ella Priya.
Hello.
What? How would you like me to introduce you? How about you give the people just your own little pitch of who you are?
Okay. I am Mike and Matt's best friend.
That's no, right.
One of ours.
One of the friends. No, I'm definitely a close friend. But no, yeah, the first time I came on was 2020. Yeah.
Yes. And that's when you were like David's new
that's
assistant.
When I just started with David. Me and Mike had just started becoming closer because we already knew each other. And I was, you know, it was very the beginning. It was my first podcast I actually ever did.
It's one of our most popular ones. I think so.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, yeah. I loved doing it. But and then since then, yeah, we've been hanging out all the time. But and since that first podcast, a lot has definitely changed.
Oh, yeah.
I have had like 3 jobs since then. And I'm currently now at my 3rd, 4th, 5th, I don't even know, I'm doing a lot of different stuff now, but you know, I have a new career as a DJ, I have my own agency, I'm doing my own social media stuff, it's great.
Yeah, you're a jack of all trades, you're wearing
a
lot
of
hats,
jack of all trades.
And nothing but success comes your way,
it's
really.
It's 4 p.m. and I'm able to do a podcast, you know?
Yeah, so, you're not stuck at
for the past year, I was at an office every single day. And so I would not have been able to do this. So I'm very grateful for that.
And before this, you were the producer of the Views podcast.
Yes, I was David Dobrik's executive producer of something. Then I was the producer of Views, worked with David. Then I worked at Dispo, worked as a creative strategist / social media / manager / whatever there. Then I worked freelance for 2 months. Then I worked at Allo as an experiential producer doing all their very events. And then now I am CEO of myself.
Do you have a name for your
I actually do. Yeah, I have an agency that we manage influencers in town, but also work with brands. I also still do events. It's called Shala NYC. It is confusing that because every time I'm talking to people, they're like, oh, so you're based in New York. They'll send me like EST times for calls. I'm like, no, I'm PST.
Oh, because the URL is NYC.
Yeah, and our emails are NYC and the website's NYC. But I'm like, well, we're a New York company.
Yeah, you're bi-coastal. Yeah.
Bi-coastal, and also like the ethics of the company are New York.
Yes. We're not doing
but I also have had the actual domain and company name for quite a long time now. And then now that's what it's become. And Shala means like chill in Italian. It's like an Italian like slang word that I always still use as in Rome, especially. You're like, Shala, it's fine. It's like chill, it's fine.
And to do the same clickbait that we had on the last episode. Can you speak some Italian so I can put it as the cold open? Because that crushed.
When I was at a party the other day, and Mike just starts like, speak Italian. I was like, wow, this is fucking clown.
It's great content. I was just like, can you speak Italian? And I filmed it because I had a funny, it wasn't that funny, but I was like, I'm going to film Ella speaking Italian on Instagram story and then put as the subtitle or put as the caption. How do I turn subtitles on? It was a silly joke, but.
Tu devi imparare un po' di italiano così possiamo parlare.
Yeah. Do you know what she just said?
I'm so happy to be here doing this podcast. No.
I said, you got to learn some Italian so then we can talk.
Oh, maybe I'll do some Duolingo or Babbel.
Come ti chiami?
Yeah. Come ti chiami?
Come ti chiami, which what is
What's
your name?
Say it. Mi chiamo Mike.
Mi chiamo Mike.
Di dove sei?
Di dove sei? Sono di Roma. Di dove sei?
Where are you from?
America.
America.
Piacere.
Piacere.
Jared's mom.
Those are the only three phrases I really remember from.
Those are good.
Going to
those
Italy.
Are all you really need.
Thanks, Ella.
But yeah, no, I honestly feel like I'm losing my Italian, which is really sad.
What are you going
to
do?
I just realized that, like, when I speak to my friends, and granted, most of my friends who are Italian who live here in the US, obviously they speak English, and we speak in this, like, half English, half Italian, you know, kind of thing. Just because now for me, like, if I have to talk about work, it's very hard for me to talk about it in Italian. Mm. Because, like, so many words, and, like, I don't really, you know, like, the lingo or whatever you're talking about, it's hard for me to do in Italian.
Yeah.
But obviously, if I'm having, like, a casual conversation with my friends, it's very easy. But I realize now when I, like, text my group chats from, like, home, like, of all my high school and college and friends from home, I'll put in English words, which they understand, obviously. But I'm just like, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, I need to, like, have full sentences in Italian.
Right.
Is it a little exhausting, like, now this may be a stupid American question, texting in Italian, because you guys have the little accents over, like, your A's and your E's, do you still gotta, like, press down and, like,
well, when you have your time? I'll, like, change my keyboard to Italian, and then it just autocorrects it to the thingy, you know what I mean? Like, I'll write perché, and then it will, like, just add the E with that, because it knows that's what it needs.
Okay.
You press a little world button on the bottom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of stuff on there.
But what's the best way? How do you think, by brushing it up, do you think you need to be watching more Italian movies, talking to your friends more often?
I think I know, Jenny, like, and you know, Greta, who you guys know too, I'm like, we speak English almost all the time now. And I'm like, we got to go back to, like, speaking Italian when it's just me and you, at least. Because, like, I'm not talking it enough. Like, when I lived in New York, I had way more Italian friends. My ex-boyfriend was Italian. So it was like, I was talking way more. Now that I've been in LA for 3 years and I don't speak that much Italian in person, like, I'll speak it via text or, like, voice notes and stuff to my friends, but you gotta keep it up.
Yeah.
And I had something work related with someone who was Italian, so I was, like, writing an email, and I was like, oh my fucking god, I don't know how to write it. I don't know how to be, like, professional.
Translate?
No, yeah. Literally, I was like,
your resume said you were proficient in Italian.
I was like, how do you say this? Well, I've also never, like, because I learned Italian obviously when I was a kid, but I also learned it in, like, the, like, speaking mannerisms. Like, I was always terrible at Italian in school, like, at the grammar part, the reading part, but I've been terrible at that in English as well. So that's just, like, not a skill of mine. So I've never been good at, like, professional Italian, or because I'm not good at in English either. So when I have to be, like, professional or whatever, I'm so bad at it. Like, even this is probably fucked up to say, but, like, someone who I know's had someone pass away. And I had to send the, like, text, you know, thinking about you.
Yeah.
And I sent the text, and I sent it to my friend. She goes, why did you say that? I said the weirdest thing ever. I was like, I basically wanted to say sending you love, but I said it in, I translated that in Italian in my head in a way that it didn't really make sense and sounded really weird. And I was like, oh, god damn it. Because I was, like, trying to be, like, you know, really sweet and nice. But I'm used to just be like, oh, yeah, man, it's fine. I'm sorry. I don't know.
And you sound like I want to make love to you or something.
or just like, sorry, that sucks.
Yeah.
Get well soon.
I said the exact translation of, like, sending you love, like, sending you lots of love. But in Italian, just, like, that's not what people say.
Yeah.
So it's just weird.
It's not always one-to-one.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I got to get it back up. So if you guys can both get on Duolingo, maybe, in the weekend, like...
Do you have a very, like, Roma dialect?
Yeah.
So, like, so if someone was from, like, Venice in Italy, they would know that you are from Rome.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my friends all make fun of me because I have a stronger Roman accent than most of them. And it's not even my first language. But it's because, again, when I learned Italian and I was 7... I learned it more from being with my, you know, when you're a kid, you just learn it from being around other kids.
Yeah.
So they all had, like, Roman accents. So I never learned it in the proper way of, like, from school. So I always have, a very, like, Roman accent when I speak Italian, and people always tell me that. Like, anytime I speak Italian to someone, they're like, oh, you're from Rome. Like,
What is Rome of, is it, like, the Southern accent? Is it the Boston accent? Is it rich? Is it posh? Like, what is it?
Is it smoother? Italy? Is it punchier?
I don't know. Probably more like...
Could you do
the New York accent, I would say. Oh, you know what I mean?
So it's not the newscasters are not speaking with a Roman dialect in Italian news. Like, what's the baseline in Italy? Like, in America, you hear the, these messages, and it's very, like...
But that's not an accent.
I know, it's very neutral.
Yeah, it's a neutral American.
Yeah, Roman is non-neutral. But all Italian accents, when they are strong, are like, Milan. If I talk to someone, I know it's from Milan. If I talk to someone, I know it's from Sicily. I know it's from Naples.
Wow.
It's very distinguished.
That's
like English
sick.
Accents are like, sure, like I can tell when someone's Southern.
Yeah.
But I can't tell if they're from, I don't know, Oregon or something. You know? Like even a New York one, honestly, unless it's like an exaggerated one or like very prominent or almost the Italian version of the New York one, it's not that prominent.
There's a really funny Fred Armisen clip where he actually goes around to every single state and he explains what the accents are from each state. So there's one, what was it, South Carolina?
Now
you mentioned something about
two pumpkins, but you're going to give me how many? I just want to see what you did there. I think that is South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Houston is a lot more accusatory. They're kind of like asking you. They kind of draw things out a bit.
I mean, it's like
Dallas is more like
Upper West Side, medical condition.
Medical. San Francisco, this is a fact.
It's a really good video. But
no,
like,
I get that.
Now that I've watched that, like, I try and hear in America because there's so many different accents
in
the U.S.
I'm so bad at accents
it's
here.
It's probably tough.
The only one I know is like that I can hear is Southern, obviously.
Yeah.
But like when people are like California, I don't fucking know. Y'all sound the same.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Athletic Greens.
That's right. Our next partner is Athletic Greens. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens literally every day. I gave AG1 a try because I really wanted to try having better gut health. I wanted increased energy and I wanted to support my immune system. I also was hating taking all the pills and vitamins, and I wanted a supplement that actually tastes great. I take AG1 in the morning before I go and work out, and it makes me feel unstoppable. I feel like a whole new man, and I cannot describe how beneficial this new Matt King has been lately, all because of AG1 by Athletic Greens.
And Athletic Greens truly is our favorite nutritional drink. It supports the immune system, and it's part of our daily routine, which just makes it so much easier. And we can't recommend it enough.
Because I'm trying to get that summer bod. I'm trying to keep up with all the amazing bodies the Vlog Squad has been producing lately. And Matt King needs to get on that grind. And AG1 has been my new secret ingredient to making me the best of my athletic ability. And I was thinking, why take a bunch of different things when I can just mix one scoop in water once a day? And AG1 was designed with ease in mind so you can live healthier and better without having to do a whole lot.
And AG1 is truly an incredible product. It's so much more than some of the other greens that you'll see. Every scoop has 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole foods sourced ingredients that are super high quality. It tastes great. It makes you feel great. It's healthy for you. We truly just cannot recommend AG1 enough. And you notice the results. You get more energy. Your skin looks better. Your hair feels better. You have more energy. It truly is a wonderful, wonderful product. And we love getting it delivered every month. It arrives at our door. It's always an exciting day when the new AG1 pack shows up. And just gets you ready for the next day. And it's great knowing that with AG1, we're taking care of our bodies every single day.
So if you're looking for an easy way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 travel packs with your first purchase. Just go to athleticgreens.com/hoot. That is athleticgreens.com/hoot. Check it out.
You see, you kind of have a New York accent, and sometimes your British sneaks in. Your A is Hoff.
Yeah. That's the only reason why people are like, what the hell are you saying? Because my British accent comes out when I say A words.
Yeah.
And then I personally don't think I have like an accent as if I don't speak English, like, you know what I mean? And people be like, oh, I can hear your Italian. I'm like, no.
No, that's bullshit. No.
Or they'll be, I can hear the Indian. I'm like, no, you can't. I'm not talking like this.
You sound eclectic, though. You sound like you like dipped your toes in like a lot of different places.
There's definitely some.
I have some DJ questions.
Okay.
Oh, did you mention that you do professional DJ stuff? I don't know if you mentioned that in your list of things.
I mentioned it. Okay. I mentioned it. But I also want to preface, I'm still a beginner.
Yeah, but you're getting good gigs. You're playing real parties. You're getting the dance floor moving.
I'm good. No, for sure. I just like, I get scared. I don't want people to think that I'm like.
Dude, you're one of the best DJs like out right now. I've been to parties.
Thank you.
What are you nervous about? Are you nervous about pleasing the crowd? Are you nervous about your own mix? Are you nervous about a DJ listening going, who is this?
More so like that. So like I'm not, because when like the parties that I've done or the events that I've done have always been like, the thing that I pride myself in is I know how to get people to dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I know the song people are going to like. And that's, if you talk to any DJ, it's like 90% of it is knowing how to read a crowd. Like, if a song is not vibing, you switch it.
What's a crowd saver? Like, or what's a
Fergalicious.
Fergalicious. Ooh, yeah. That gets people going.
It gets people going. Fergalicious, or, like, depending on the crowd, if it's, like, lots of females, like, Super Bass by Nicki Minaj.
Ooh, yeah. Super. Yeah.
You know? Or, and, like, the thing is, I also mostly play because I, one, enjoy it, and two, it's the best music to dance to, like, older songs, like, 90s, 2000s. Like, I'll put in some newer stuff, just, like, the ones that everyone knows, but I'm not necessarily playing, like, the top, like, I'm playing top hits, but, like, old top hits. You know what I mean?
Are you
like,
ever...
Oh no, the other one that I always play that's a which is always great is Every Time We Touch.
Oh, that's such a good one.
And every time we touch,
yeah,
and that's like that fucking gets
100 Gex did a Boiler Room set, and that's what they ended it with, and it was so, they did like a 100 Gex version.
No way.
Dude, the 100 Gex Boiler Room set is so sick. Sorry to interrupt, but it's a great song.
Yeah.
Do you take requests or no? Cuz I know
I will.
I'm like, sometimes I think just respect the DJ. This is not a bar mitzvah. We're not at like a DJ banquet thing. Or
I think
there's
it
certain times.
It depends
just,
on the party.
This DJ worked on their set. They worked on mixing all the songs. Let them just play what they had in mind for the party.
Yeah.
Instead, it's certain moments where like, I don't know, Patricia loves going like up and asking them, and I'm just like, let the DJ pick.
I think it depends on the venue. Like if the DJ is hired and their like name is on the flyer and it's their set, that's not the vibe.
Okay, but yeah.
Right.
If you're at, you know,
if I'm like DJing my friend's birthday party and they're like, yeah, can you play this?
At, like,
yeah.
A work event or something, you know.
For me, it's more so like, I have like a lot of songs, obviously, but I don't have the fucking Rolodex of the Spotify on my USB. So a lot of times people will ask, and I'm like, I don't have it. And they'll be like, come on. I'm like, no. Like, I'm not saying no to you. Like, I don't have it on my USB.
Yeah.
So I can't play it. But they don't believe you. They think you're saying no. I'm like, oh, if I have it, I'll play it or whatever. You know what
I mean?
Because
the songs have to be on your USB in your program. You can't just play it off Spotify.
No.
Mix it into your mix.
No.
But you've gotten better at the mixing stuff, too.
That's the part that I was saying, because like, I definitely think I have like the song selection down. I have the like reading the crowd down. I have the like dancing, whatnot. I have slightly like matching BPM, so like not going from like a really fast song to a really slow song. Like I have that down. But yeah, the hardest part about DJing is the transitions, is the mixing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I talked to like a couple of my friends who are like really good DJs, and the feedback that they've given me is like, you play the song for too long. Like I almost have it go to the end of the song before I switch it. One, because it's easier.
Which I do love.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I do
that's
love.
The most annoying thing with a DJ plays an amazing
but
song.
But that's
for
what
one
I
second.
Love too, because when I'm listening, I'm like, I want to continue to sing the song to the end because I know every single word.
Yes, play the full thing of 212. You
yeah,
know,
exactly.
I want to hear it go all the way through.
But that is like most like, and you don't have to play the full song. Obviously, like there are songs that are like 4 minutes long. Like obviously, I'm gonna cut
can,
that
can
short.
Can you play Bohemian Rhapsody? When I hear Bohemian Rhapsody, man, that's when I go to the bathroom.
Or like go to the bar and get a drink.
I got time.
Do that song.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the part. And that's what I've just been practicing. And it's one of those things, like the more you do it, the better you get at it. But like, did you come to the I Like You party we just did in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were both there?
Yeah.
Which was a great one. Like to me, that was a great party because one, we've been to that bar many times.
Bar List, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one's dancing as much as they were that night, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, normally people are, like, standing outside. They're sitting at the bar. Like, everyone was on the dance floor, and, like, everyone was having a great time, which is, like, all we want out of these parties.
And when you did the underground one, Jordan's, like, circus party.
That was, like, never seen so many people dancing.
And you were the, I think you were the first set of the night.
Yeah.
And then after Ella left, like, there was three DJs, and the dance floor was empty for the next three DJs. Like, Ella, and it was not, there was, like, maybe only 10 of us. And,
yeah.
Like, 300 other people.
Yeah,
that's when I
true.
Noticed. I was like, damn, this girl, you're not just like, oh, I'm going to play my favorite songs. Like, you actually have the skill to read the crowd and play.
But so when we did the I Like You party too, like it was great. And I opened because again, the other two DJs were Isaac, who I do the parties with, who's like a really good DJ, like literally the like one of my favorites ever. And he just is so good at reading a crowd, so good at mixing everything. And then our other friend, Madison, who's also an amazing, he's like Aminé's tour DJ. So like, you know, legit, like he's playing in front of thousands and thousands of people in stadiums, and I was like, for something like that, I was so nervous because I'm like, people are gonna notice when I go off and these people start. And like Madison went after me, and Madison is really good at mixing, that he does the thing where he like changes a song after like 30 seconds, but in a really cool way that you're like, oh shit, you know what I mean? And clearly I wasn't doing that, so there in my head, and I know some people notice. And I think it's because now that I do it, I notice it when I'm at a party. that I think everyone else notices it.
Do other DJs like have to take note of like the DJs before them if they play a song? They're like, oh, shit, I gotta like make sure I had that one on my list. I don't need to like replay that song.
Yeah, I mean, depending what it is and like how long you're playing it for, and that's why I think it's funny because like when we do our parties, we all like me and Isaac play like similar music because we also just love the same stuff. So like I'll hear him play a song or hear me playing a song and be like, oh fuck, I was gonna play that, like whatever. But again, the way that I've learned how to DJ, and this isn't necessarily right, but like I don't prepare a set at all. I'll prepare like a call it a playlist, but none of that is in the order that I'm gonna play it in.
Oh.
Like I just have like say of my 600 songs, I put, okay, I'm going to put 100 into this playlist and these are the songs I'm going to play tonight because I think these will be good. But I don't put them in like, okay, this is going to be first, this is going to be second, this is going to be third. Because that's how you don't read a crowd.
Oh, right, but do you have to like match up like BPMs at all? Like,
yeah, but you can see that on the thing when you're doing
okay.
It. So, and wait,
should we learn to DJ?
I'm down, man. Experience. Watch out, that
you're gonna have DJ parties.
It'll just be all zoobity buddy, buddy, buddy.
But yeah, no, and I learned that from like my friends who do that, and that's what, because I've seen people who have sets, and well, a lot of people also just have pre-recorded sets.
Oh yeah, the whole thing is just
they just pretend to do shit.
Yeah,
which is insane to me. One, but two, that's also like how you show that you're not because you're not good, but like if a song sucks and no one's dancing, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, you're fucked. Because
like you guys gotta wait till it goes to the next. Yeah.
Like Ashley Simpson on SNL, when she, remember she was lip syncing?
I saw that live.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Like in person or on TV?
I saw it, I saw it on TV.
Oh, live. I thought you were like at SNL.
Wait, no. She was, I don't know this.
She did, Ashley Simpson, Jessica Simpson's sister, which she was, you know, on her like big stride of her song Pieces of Me.
Mm-hmm.
She went on SNL.
Yeah.
And you know the song, On a Monday, I'm Waiting on Tuesday. She was up there and then the song started and she wasn't ready to like start singing it.
But her voice was like doing it, and it was just so clear. This is before people like understood that musicians are playing with backing traps and lip syncing.
Yeah.
And then she just started to do like a silly dance,
a little hoedown,
like while the song.
And then I don't even think she like continued the performance. Like it just
they
ended.
Just like, went to commercial. It like ended her career.
Yeah, and wasn't the same.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like people always get called out for lip syncing.
I feel like nowadays people just know. Like they just make it obvious. Frank Ocean specifically.
You can't talk about that.
All right. So there's a new bully in town.
Are you talking about Ella's dad?
Yeah, Ella's dad.
Mike is getting bullied by my dad so hard.
It's unbelievable. I'm like sore from where he like pinches me and hits me.
He physically abuses you?
Yeah.
Oh, he mostly like physically sizes me up because he catches me like working out at David's house. He's like, oh, getting in shape for the wedding. Huh?
It's just like, you know, like my love to you is bullying, and like, so his is like times that.
Yeah, yeah. And he's
I like, definitely get it from him because like,
pretty strong too. So like, he actually can like beat me up and he lets me know he can.
I know, but
like, what's up, bud? I'm like, okay, ow.
I know. I think he doesn't realize how much it actually hurts you and how fragile you are.
I'm really fragile. I'm such a baby.
Explain what he's been doing at David's house.
But
love Michael. You're just scared he's going to come for you after this. So my dad, who lives in London, he came to visit me like a month or two ago for the first time here in LA at least. And, you know, obviously I took him around and took him to David's and he met everyone. And while they're at the house, you know, David's doing a lot of renovations to his house. And my dad has an interior design and furniture business in London and has also like a lot of experience with redoing houses. He's built houses, he's redone them inside. It's not just interiors. And while he was there, David, there's some contractor there or something, or they were talking about it. My dad basically like told David, like, this is wrong. Like, I don't know what you're doing. You're getting ripped off. And David was like, what? What are you talking about? And so he helped him with something literally just on the spot there. And in typical David style, he was like, can you just like come out here and help me with my house? Like kind of what he did to me when I moved out. And so my dad went back to London and then they kind of asked about it again. And my dad was like, well, is he serious? And I was like, yeah, I think he's serious if you want to come out. So he did. He's now been here for like a month. And he hangs out with all of you guys more than me.
Comes to the pool parties.
He's everywhere.
He's been doing a great job with all the renovations at David's house.
So he's been here a month. He's redone everything. He's helped him redo the floors. He's helped him redo the outside bar, the pickleball court, like all these things that I think they just needed to be done. And, you know, it's a house of 25-year-olds who maybe not have that experience. Like, not that I do either, But yeah, it's hard. Like, you know, and I see it too. You know, if someone showed me a quote for like redoing the floors, I'd be like, I don't know. Is that how much floors cost?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. But luckily he does know. So he can be like, no, that's bullshit, you know, or whatever. Yeah. So he's just been helping him with the house stuff, which has been great. You know, I think David's got a lot done since he's been here, but it's definitely interesting to have my dad here.
I feel like he's much happier being here too.
Oh, he loves it.
Look, I met him when he was here visiting originally, and he was like, you know, still kind of getting used to it, meeting the people. But now he's like, yeah, he's like one of the boys.
No, he calls me up. He's like, oh, did you hear what happened today at the house? I'm like, no, I didn't. Why do you know? He's like, oh, I met Matt today. He like knows everyone now. He's at David's like, well, he's at David's every day because he's working.
He pushed me in the pool at my pool party fully clothed.
He did do that. He did do that.
Matt, when I told Matt that, he's like, what?
What?
Because like Matt's dad is like nice guy from the South, like real polite. And he's like, who is this guy who's like pushing you in the pool? And now it all makes sense. But yeah, he's like, he's very cool.
But your dad's from London, but he also like went to school out here in the States, right?
Yeah, which is not, this is an insane story too. But so yeah, my dad is originally from India, has lived in the UK for like 30 years or whatever. But before that, he went to college in the US and he lived in New York for a really long time, which I think is also the reason why I was always infatuated by it. But he went to Scranton, random, but
Scranton, Pennsylvania, or Scranton, New York?
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Shout out to
University of Scranton. And when my dad, since he's been here, we have now found out that, which is, again, this world is so small and it freaks me out, but one of my friends, McLean, who you guys know.
Yeah.
Who I've been friends with now in LA for like 2+ years.
And has a great company.
Yes, and she has an online business, Vivacious.
She's always out with you, Taylor, and Jess.
I see her every week. I talk to her like almost every day. Like, we're close. We're really good friends. So we're at dinner with my dad, and my dad's asking McLean like questions. Like, oh, so where are you from? Whatever. McLean's like, oh, I'm from where she's from, upstate New York. And I was like, oh, I know that. And she's like, oh, really? Like, not a lot of people know that place. He goes, yeah. And he asked, what's your last name? She says, Farrell. He goes, oh, I know Mike Farrell. She goes, that's my uncle. And he was like, really? And then my dad just starts naming off her grandfather, her father, her grandma, her whole family. And we were all like, wait a second.
What?
How do you know these people? And my dad's like, he was my college roommate.
Whoa.
We were best friends. And me and McLean had no idea. My dad has been on McLean's family vacation that they go on every year. Before McLean was even born. My dad knew McLean's grandparents more than she knew them. Like, knew everything about this family.
This is bananas.
And now, like, 30 years later,
we randomly are friends in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I know that I've already heard this story, but like hearing it again, I just can't believe the odds of that.
Like, there's photos of like McLean's uncle from the
80s. I love the story too, because it's not like, oh, they went to college together. No, they have pictures together. My dad went on vacation with them. My dad pulled out all these photos. And then the best part was, obviously we had to like call McLean's uncle and whatnot. And so my dad's like, we got to FaceTime them. So we FaceTime her uncle and they respond. And like my dad's in she's like, oh, I have someone here who wants to like say hi. They pan and they're like, they kind of look at her for a second. And then the wife goes, is that Mike D'Souza? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, I haven't seen you since my wedding. My dad was in their wedding.
What?
And like had not seen him since. And then of course it's amazing now because now they've reconnected and have been talking.
Oh,
and they're now friends. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, like, you know, you lose touch.
Yeah.
You know, they live in upstate New York. He lives in London.
Yeah.
And now they've been chit-chatting and like friends again, which is crazy.
Like a generation later, just making it all happen.
Yeah.
Who knows? That could happen to us and our kids one day.
I know.
Just linking up through that way. Damn, I love that when the universe just like
pulls people together.
So insane. And to me, it's even more insane because we're not talking like, I don't know, two people who grew up in New York or whatever. Like, we're talking like
random small town.
You know, random cadre in a small town. Like, I didn't meet McLean because of something connected to that. I met her randomly here in LA through another friend. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, if someone in like Rome was like, oh, I know your mom. I'm like, eh, whatever. You know?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
She lives in Rome. She's a teacher. You figure it out.
Yeah.
This is like crazy.
Yeah. Small world. I love that stuff.
It truly is.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Talkspace. You know, sometimes life can get you down. It's a little bit difficult. Everyone has their challenges, but talking to a therapist can help. And if you're not sure how to get started, Talkspace has made it easy to find a therapist that you will like. It's convenient to meet online, at home, or wherever you're most comfortable, and Talkspace has made a huge difference in so many lives.
Now, you may be a person who thinks seeing a therapist or a psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one and meet with them, or hey, even afford them. Well, we recommend trying Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable. Sometimes people wait until something bad happens to talk to a therapist, but why wait? You can get a therapist right now through Talkspace, and therapy can really help you shift your perspective and find tools to cope in difficult times.
At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or set up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy. And Talkspace lets you send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait until your next session.
Talkspace can help with any specific challenges you might be facing. It is the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and much more.
Talkspace is secure and private using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. Talkspace is affordable and in-network with most major insurers.
So as a listener of this podcast, Hoot and a Half, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to talkspace.com/HH to match with a licensed therapist today. Once again, go to talkspace.com/HH to get $100 off your first month and to show your support of the show. That's talkspace.com/HH.
Can we play our famous 10 questions game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to play a game that we've been playing with our guests as of the more recent episodes. You're an OG original guest, so this didn't exist. It's basically just 10 questions.
Okay.
You can take as long as you want, answer as quickly as you want, whatever.
Okay.
I'll just ask and you answer. So the first one is, what is your favorite word?
Fuck.
Is that your favorite word? Are you thinking about what your favorite word is?
My favorite is fuck. No, it's not fuck.
It could be in Italian, could be in English. Your
my
first
favorite word guess, I think. Is, I mean, kind of fuck.
Fuck is your fuck? Favorite word?
It's just so satisfying to say.
Yeah,
it really is.
You know what
fuck,
I mean?
You get the like, you fuck. Get the
it doesn't have to be negative. It doesn't have to be positive.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's one of the most versatile English words, too.
Yeah.
The way it's spelled.
Yeah. You can add it into everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to go with that.
The next question is, what is your least favorite word?
Oh, I know my least favorite word. My least favorite word is definitely, because I cannot spell it.
Ah, yes.
I've never been able to spell it.
Even like autocorrect it, like no, won't even like, you, it like I'm pretty it sure this is close to it. Can you just suggest?
It thinks I'm saying
defiantly?
Defiantly or something.
Definitively?
Yeah, yes. Some of that. Definitely. Hate that word.
Immediately also. I can never get immediately right.
In restaurant.
And receipt. Fuck receipt.
Oh, yeah.
And receipt. Wednesday? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Just, come on, man.
Yeah.
Or February is how it's spelled.
Yeah, no, definitely is the one that fucks me up every single time.
Definitely.
I don't know how to spell
it. Do the next one.
Couldn't tell you.
Next question is, what turns you on?
Ooh.
This could be spiritually, creatively, sexually. It doesn't need to be one specific thing.
I mean, this is so basic, but like deep conversation. Because for all of those things, I think that answers it. Like if I'm able to have a conversation with someone one-on-one and we're like actually talking about something of substance.
Right.
That turns me on sexually, that turns me on creatively, and it turns me on spiritually.
And it makes a night just like matter. Like a day.
Like if I'm having a shitty night or like not having that much fun, but I have one conversation with one person.
Yeah.
My night's I'm much happier.
Yeah. That's the best party favor. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Walking away with a great conversation.
Yeah.
Next question is, what turns you off?
I have this answer, but this isn't the answer because this sounds so like hated, but men. No, I'm kidding.
Men? Are we confirming the rumors right now?
Not kidding. No, what turns me off is rudeness and obnoxiousness. Mm-hmm. That's a word.
Yeah.
And I bring that to men just because in the past like month, I've had multiple interactions with different men in a business scenario and in like a normal scenario. And I'm just like, it's this constant, like, I had a meeting recently, and it was like a lunch meeting, and the check came, and I was not asked one question. I sat at lunch with this person for an hour and a half, and the check came, and he was like, oh, so, like, what about you?
Meaning, like, he was doing all of the talking. Ella was keeping the conversation alive, asking all the questions.
The whole time.
It was just this guy word vomiting on Ella for, like, an hour and a half.
Oh.
And then the check comes and goes, so what are you up to?
Yeah.
That is the worst.
But, like, again, aside from that, like, yeah, the things that turn me off, yeah, rudeness and obnoxious. Like, if you're rude to a waiter, again, what we just talked about, if you're rude to a bouncer, like, I'm just like, ew.
Yeah, that is.
And that goes hand in hand with obnoxious because you think that you're someone and you think that you're like, turn off.
So if I'm ever in a situation like that where the other person will refuse to ask me a question and, like, you feel this urge to, like, ask and fill the silence, I've learned to just sit there and just...
No, I started doing that, too.
Yes. Make it awkward. Make them be like, anyway, so, like, you have to break that pattern.
I've started doing that. Yeah. I'll be on FaceTime for 4 minutes in silence waiting for them to say something.
Or I get really frustrated how long someone will choose to, like, continue to talk about something.
Yeah.
Like I'm over it. And sometimes when it comes to you and you're answering something, I like to keep things, you know, short. I'm thinking about how much time I'm taking up talking.
Yes.
And then I'll sometimes be listening to someone for over like 4 minutes and they're still going on and on and on. And then right when he comes back to you and you want to talk, they're like, all right, I got to go. Or like, they're not that interested in what you have to say. You're like, I just listened to you talk for this long.
Literally.
Yeah. When people don't like reciprocate like how much time they're giving to other people, that drives me crazy.
Yeah. But I like the quote, the way to be interesting is to be interested.
Right. Yes.
Which is why I think people like the three of us, because we are very good at asking people questions and making them comfortable and letting the conversation flow.
Definitely.
And it's why we like each other, because we are respecting and listening to other people. Like, for example, yesterday, Ella just called me and was like, can I vent? And I was like, for sure. We talked for like 15, 20 minutes, vented. And then today something happened to me. I was like, can I vent? Called her up and she just listened. And it was like, because, you know, you have that type of relationship where you can just, you know, the other person.
And we recently had the conversation too about like, when someone needs to vent, you don't necessarily have to give them advice.
No, not at all. Yeah.
But you know, like when people will like, oh, I'll play devil's advocate. I'm like, no, no. As my friend or as whoever, like, I just need you to listen.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And you can be like, yeah, I'm sorry. That sucks, man. Like, I hate when sometimes you just want to talk and they're like, well, what but did you do this? I'm like, oh, fuck
up. That's not what I'm here for. Yeah. I just need you to listen to me.
Here, let me draft up an email for you to send.
Yeah, like, literally.
Not what I asked for.
It's like, well, what do you think they thought? I'm like, no, they're wrong. I'm right. Just leave it at that. What's the next question?
What sound or noise do you love?
That's really hard. What makes noise? I don't know.
It can be satisfying. It can be like a pleasing or soothing sound. It can come from nature, something mechanical.
A friend.
Like, I love the sound of like fake nails, like rubbing together.
Oh, I kind of do love that too.
That's one of my favorite.
I like that one. I like...
The sound of water boiling before pasta is dumped in.
No. I hate that sound. Okay. I mean, probably like the ocean. Now I have it.
There we go.
Fire.
Oh, a little snap, crackle, and pop.
Like when there's wood logs starting to crackle.
Yeah.
Picking up the fire.
I love that sound.
I think I like that sound, but then I immediately associate that with you're going to just smell like smoke.
Yes.
And then you have to do your laundry and you can't sit in like your... Yeah.
I get that.
I always got to think when there's a fire, I'm like, where else am I going tonight? So I just don't smell like smoke. If it's the last thing I do in an evening, I love hanging around.
Something else I love is just like the sound of a saxophone.
Ooh,
a saxophone?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like... I feel like I'm in like a jazz club.
Like a smooth saxophone.
Smooth saxophone.
I get in moods where I start looking at saxophones online. Where I'm like, can I just like have this in my own home to make this sound? But
no,
I definitely
like,
know.
Like if there's a song or like someone's performing and suddenly there's a saxophone, it's 10 times better.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about
that. I think it depends. Some saxophones I kind of over, like when it's screaming, like.
No.
It's okay.
Think of like mellow jazz.
Yeah, that's when it's nice and restrained. I think it's best.
I love a good like 80s
like a Bruce Springsteen. I'm kind of over it.
Oh man, I love that sound.
Okay, what sound or noise do you hate?
The sound of my fucking, you know, when you like the vent in bathrooms.
Yeah, like the fan.
Yes, I hate it. Like, I have two lights in my bathroom. When you turn on one, it's just a light. When you turn on the other, it's like a light in the vent. And like, when I never turn it on because I hate the noise of it. When people come to my house and they turn it on, I'm literally like, turn it off.
Is it too squeaky? Is it like, does it need to be lubed up?
It's so loud, but it's one of those things where it's like, what is it that's loud? It's like air. It's like,
you might have like dust in it or something. Maybe you need to just clean it out. It shouldn't be that loud.
Sometimes for me, it's kind of satisfactory. Like, I love knowing, I don't like bathrooms that don't have one.
Well, in public places, it's fine because it's like muffling your pee noise or whatever. But in my own home, I don't like it. But that...
I love a bathroom with a window. That's the best. If you have a bathroom with a window, you're set.
Yeah. You definitely need a window. That was just this very specific one, but it's really annoying me recently.
What is your favorite curse word?
Let's do your Italian favorite. Because
let's hear an
your
Italian.
Favorite word is fuck. So let's do your favorite Italian or maybe like curse phrase.
I'm trying to think what I say the most. Because like honestly, like vaffanculo is not my favorite one. It's too long.
What is that?
Vaffanculo is fuck.
What? Vaffanculo. You say fuck in Italian?
Yeah, it's vaffanculo. Basically,
it's like 16 syllables.
Well, it's like go fuck yourself, basically. Vaffanculo.
Okay.
But I love saying, well, probably cazzo or porca troia. Cazzo is basically like dick.
Cazzo.
Yeah. So, but we say cazzo like shit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When you're like, oh shit, you're like cazzo.
Okay.
And it's like C-A-Z-Z-O. Great spelling.
Yeah.
And then porca troia is like...
Sounds like a great Italian spot.
Well, because porca means like... I won't say dirty. Like, porca is basically like... Yeah, like kind of dirty.
Trashy.
I'm trying to think how you translate this.
Filthy.
Rotten.
Well, no. Porca and porca is like... you connect it like a pig. So, like, yes, it's, like, dirty, filthy, whatever. And then troia is slut.
So, it's, like, a...
It's, like a naughty porca troia. So, it's, like, dirty slut, basically.
Oh, wow.
But that's not how we use it.
When would you use
like,
it?
I'll, like, drop something. Like, porca troia.
It's just, like, an exclamation.
Just, like, an exclamation.
Yeah. Okay.
Porca troia, vaffanculo.
This one?
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Oof. So many. I don't know what my profession is. Well, I've always wanted, like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a pop star. And I still kind of want to be one.
Didn't we all?
Yeah. So I think
a pop star?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you played around with that headset TikTok filter that's popular?
Yeah.
I love it. A pop star or, just recently I was like thinking about a career that I really was interested in. Fuck.
Deep sea marine biology?
No, I was never interested in that. I did kind of want to be like a build things.
Like a architect or a contractor?
No, like...
Just Sims? Just magically kind of make things...
A Minecraft person?
Like,
Lego?
No. Like maybe like a designer, I guess. Necessarily clothes, but like of anything. I don't know. Like I see the people on TikTok like... We're making like ceramics or making like clothes, like shit like that. And I'm like to make something.
A craftsman.
Craftsmanship.
Yeah. Yes. Me too.
Last question.
Oh, should I learn 10?
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You did good.
You did good. You got so.
And I want to feel like,
Yeah. Well done.
You nailed it, sister.
You made it. You nailed it. You did a good life. Welcome. Grab an ice cream.
Cool. Well.
Is that it?
Anything else? No, that was it?
I think so.
All right, cool. When are you going to the Bahamas again?
I don't know. Hopefully soon.
Isn't it like every 2 weeks?
Well, no, there are other places now. It's not always the Bahamas.
Oh, do you have your eyes set on somewhere else?
No, I don't know. Wherever mommy wants to take us. Yeah, and I feel like... I'm like so excited for this summer. Like everyone's like, hot girl summer. I'm like, I feel like I'm gone.
I'm gone all of August.
The whole summer.
Yeah. I feel like I'm saying no to so many people's parties that are happening in LA.
I have a bachelorette next weekend. You would have thought next weekend is the only weekend in the world. I have 4 birthdays that I'm missing because of this bachelorette party, which like I'm so excited to go to. And also like bachelorette has been like planned for 6 months.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting like birthday party texts. Friggin' event, prime event, all this stuff. I'm like, I'll go. But yeah, I have a lot of weddings and bachelorette parties this summer.
Where's the bachelorette party at?
Bachelorette party is in Rehoboth, Delaware.
What was that?
Delaware?
Rehoboth. Rehoboth Beach.
It sounds like you're speaking Spain Spanish. Rehoboth.
No, because all my girlfriends are like all on the East Coast, mm. and we've gone to Rehoboth before, and it's a really fun beach town. It's near. It's not too far. And yeah, because we've gone to the Jersey Shore a lot. We always go to Brigantine, been to Atlantic City, been to all these random places. But yeah, so Bachelorette is there, which I love. Like, for me, it's complicated to get to because I have to like fly to New York and do all that. But for them, it's so easy.
Yeah.
And I respect when people make their Bachelorettes, not like you have to buy $1,000 fly and then you have to do this and you have to do that.
Right.
It's like, you know,
we're going to the Maldives.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
And of our friend group, like, lots of them have gotten married in the past year, so they know that, like, us, you know, singles are like, gosh,
yeah,
they're like, dude, spreading me thin here.
Yeah, yeah, don't have that double income.
Yeah, exactly. Don't have that double income. No.
Well, Ella, thank you so much for coming on. It was great having you back, and honestly, come back more often.
I loved it. Thank you so much for having me.
We don't need to wait another 2 years to have you back.
I know. I hope not.
You're always welcome here on Two and a Half.
Usually, a lot of times on this pod, we'll do people that we don't see that frequently.
Yeah.
Because it's like a nice way to connect with people, but we literally talk to Ella like every day, so it feels like she's been on, but. We'll make it more of an effort.
Basically, every conversation of ours is like a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. We need you, like, you and Taylor on as like a pair and get some hot tea from just you two.
Hell yeah.
As well.
Spilling the tea?
Spilling the tea with Tay.
Okay.
Well, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, Snapchat, all at Ella Priya.
There we go.
There we go.
Thank you, Ella Priya.
Thank you, guys.
Toodles.